And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. And Buck, we've got a fun one today. It's not draft season, but yet it is draft season.
Well, this is fun, man. This is fun, especially for all the fantasy football participants. This will be kind of fun because what we're going to do is a skill position draft. We'll go through all the skill positions and just kind of go and see how we select them off the board and kind of go through. So it should be a little fun exercise and really evaluating who are the top players at each position and having nice conversations about those guys.
All right. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. We're going to go five quarterbacks, five wideouts, five running backs each. So there'll be 10 total drafted. Tight ends, I don't think there are 10 tight ends no. that we love. So we'll just do three of those a piece. But I'll give you the choice here. Should we start quarterbacks or should we finish quarterbacks? What do you think?
Let's finish quarterbacks. Let's make people wait to the end. Quarterbacks.
Okay, so we'll go in reverse order. We'll start tight ends. I'll make my little column here for BB and DJ, and we'll see who we got here for these names. I'm gonna give you the first pick on tight ends, Buck. That's the kind of friend I am. I'm trying to see, I get it for quarterbacks or no? No, go ahead.
That's fine. This is tough because it comes down to me between Travis Kelce and George Kittle. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce because Travis Kelce has like five straight 1,000-yard seasons, first time it's ever been done in history. When I look at him, he really reminds me of a true wide receiver one on the perimeter. He is very unique in the way that he plays in space. I mean, he is a matchup nightmare on the perimeter. He's a guy. If I'm going to build a wide receiver core around the tight end, I want Travis Kelce to be the guy who's at the epicenter.
Here's my challenge because – I mean, I know what I'm going to do here. I love that pick, by the way, Kelce. I think, man, I probably would have gone with Kittle, and I'm going to go with Kittle right here. But I see in terms of just pure route running, Kelsey's the best. He's the best route runner of the tight ends. But with George, I get a little bit more in the run game. So I'll go George Kittle here with the second pick. The problem is I really, really am crossing my fingers. I'm going to get my next guy, and I'm scared that I'm going to lose out on him here. But I'm going to go Kittle. I'm going Kittle, best all-around tight end in the league. If he stays healthy, it changes that offense for the Niners.
Hey, look, it absolutely changes the equation. It changes the math. And I think the common denominator between Kelce and Kittle, their ability to make things happen with the ball in the hands. There's another guy that's out there that I think is fantastic as a producer, a chain mover, a touchdown scorer. How about Darren Waller? Darren Waller would be my number three. He'd be the number three pick. He's my second tight end. I'm taking him after you take George Kittle off the board.
I was hoping he was going to be there for me in round two. I was hoping you're going to leave him for me. I considered Waller with my first pick just because how he's dynamic he is.
Unique.
He is really, really talented. You said the big two. I actually think he's kind of in that conversation to make it a big three. I think he's that good. All right, now to me, I feel like it drops off at this point in time. All right, I'm going to go, man.
So many options. So many ways to go.
There's a lot of ways to go here, but I'm going to tell you what. Scared money don't make money.
Oh.
Kyle Pitts.
Oh, sight unseen.
Kyle
Pitts comes off the board.
I'm buying.
Oh,
look,
my gosh.
Buck, it's the highest grade I've ever given to a tight end. So you got to believe in your evaluation. He's a freak. There's not guys like him that come around. I've never seen somebody come into the league with his, you know, body type and skill set. Julio's not there. The ball's got to go somewhere in Atlanta. Calvin Ridley can't catch everything. He's not going to get every single target. So I think Kyle Pitts with a good quarterback is going to have opportunities this year as a rookie to produce I might as well say it. I mean, if I'm picking him here, I say he's going to have one of the best rookie seasons we've seen from a tight end. I'm going Kyle Pitts, round two.
Wow, Kyle Pitts. No stats, no reps. We haven't even seen a highlight yet. And Kyle Pitts goes ahead of some distinguished guys, even Pro Bowlers. So now, here I am. I'm sitting here with my third pick at tight end, and I'm really trying to do it because I can take the thing that I've seen put up production, and that would be a Mark Andrews with the Baltimore Ravens and how they just throw it to him all the time over the middle of the field. Or I can go with a guy who I believe is really going to pop this year, even though he was a Pro Bowler last year. I'm going to go with TJ Hockenson as my third tight end from Detroit, eighth overall pick. I believe in this system that Anthony Lynn and those guys are putting in, where they're really utilizing a lot of the run game and the bootlegs and those things, I think his numbers are really going to skyrocket. So give me Hockenson.
Okay, well, you're going to be happy with me because you said you were between Andrews and Hockenson. And I know the production that Andrews has had has been really good. He fits that system perfectly. But I'm not going there. I'll tell you what, you might beat me with if we have a a pass catching competition, but you're not going to beat me in a track meet because I'm taking Noah Fant. I'm going to take his teammate. We go Iowa Hawkeye teammates back to back. You go Hockenson, I come back with Fant. Now I've got Pitts and Fant, probably the Waller's right up there, but I got two freak shows with those two guys. Four guys.
Look, I like both of those guys. And if I had to have an honorable mention, I believe this guy is the one that I think you have to keep an eye on. Dallas Goedert, depending on what happens with the Philadelphia Eagles. Honorable mention. If they go 12 personnel and really figure out how to use him and they keep Zach Ertz and they do some things, he'd be the guy. And I know, to the chagrin of our producer, Nabil, I know Nabil would say, what about Robert Tonyan? But I just can't put him in because I don't know who's going to be throwing the rock yet in Green Bay.
Yeah. So the two biggies, you know, Mark Andrews would, and you mentioned there, when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles and Goddard, I think those two guys right there, I think we go another round. Those are the two picks. So, but you end up with Kelsey, Waller, Hockenson. I end up with Kittle, Pitts, and Fant. Mm. So tight ends are in the books. We're going to go, let's go running backs next here.
Oh, love it. You can take running backs. You take
I go first. I get to go first here.
First with the RBs.
All right.
That's tough,
man. There's so many backs. I got to assume that he's healthy. I'm going Christian McCaffrey.
No, CMC goes number one off the board. CMC. I'm not mad at you, DJ, because look, whatever club you want to create, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, 100, Christian McCaffrey has the golden ticket to get in. So I'm not mad at that. So yeah, I'm good with that. Gosh, when I think of running backs, like, this is going to go against everything that I believe when it comes to running backs. But I'm going to take Derrick Henry number one. And the reason I'm going to take him is because, look, much like we had a discussion about Giannis, when you have one special skill, if you just master it and own it, like, you can do remarkable things. I don't know if there's a better downhill runner in the game than Derrick Henry. The way that he has put up big numbers in back-to-back years with all of these carries, and then when you watch his workout vids, I'm just going to go with him. I'm going to go with the guy, rushing champ, back-to-back years. I'm going with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, how do you argue with the production? He's a one-man band. I like that pick. I'm going to come back here with my second pick. I'll spare you from – I was planning on singing a little 50 Cent. I'm taking Nick Chubb with the Find Me in the Club remix, but I'm not gonna do that to you or the listeners. So I'm gonna pass on that. But I'm gonna take. I love Nick Chubb. I'm taking Nick Chubb.
Oh man, I am surprised that you took Nick Chubb there, because I thought
there's other better receivers out there. But you took kind of a pure runner in Derrick Henry, and to me, I'm gonna match that with, I think Nick Chubb gives me a little more juice.
I mean, look, he's a body banger. I mean, you talk about the way that he just beats up the defense with his physical running style. The fact that Cleveland has two number ones in the backfield makes it really, really tough to deal with that offense. Nick Chubb is certainly worthy. He was runner-up for the rushing championship a couple years ago. He's right there in the mix. But since you left me,
I know you're going to take Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. I mean, you can just leave me Dalvin Cook right there. He's sitting there like a blinking light. I have to take him. Now, I wonder, without Gary Kubiak, new offensive coordinator, but they have to keep it the same. Build this offense around Dalvin Cook and what he does as a runner and playmaker. He's terrific. He makes this offense go, so I'm going with Dalvin Cook.
All right. I'm going to hope that this dude stays healthy. You talk about big grades that I gave players coming out, but Saquon. I'm going to go Saquon, who can catch the ball, can hit me home runs, can do everything. Just need to stay healthy. I feel like I've got tremendous upside here with this pick. Man, it's a big year. When you look at kind of teams around the league and you say, okay, this is kind of a statement season, And I look at Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram. I feel like the Giants have so many of these guys that are kind of like, okay, it's time now. Let's figure this thing out. What do we got?
Yeah, it definitely is time. And so we'll see, because Saquon Barkley is a little hit or miss when it comes to his production. He's not the steady Eddie 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards guy. He's a guy that has a couple, you know, zeros and twos and negative two, and then he hits a 60 yarder. And his ability, man, when you look at his ability to make plays in the pass game, he's phenomenal. So here I am sitting. I have my third running back off the board. I get a chance to get Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara is everything that I think you want in a new school running back. His ability to catch the ball out the backfield, the things that he can make happen in space when he's one-on-one against linebackers and DBs, he's a problem. And so I need to have at least somebody in the stable that can create problems. Alvin Kamara is that guy for me.
All right. Man, a couple different places I can go with this next one here. Oh, I still got two more picks. So maybe I think I might be able to, the way I order this, I think will give me a chance to get the other one. So I'm going to go with Zeke. I'm going to go Zeke Elliott.
Ooh, I didn't think you were going to be so high on Zeke. I thought Zeke would be available for me.
No, I'm look, he's still, you talk about instinctive, natural runners who can run with power, can make you miss in short space, finish runs, good in short yardage, good in the red zone, all that stuff. And you got somebody that is outstanding catching the football. So I think with Dak back healthy, Zeke stays healthy for the whole year. He's going to catch a zillion balls. And we'll see a big year here from Elliott. So I'm going to go Zeke.
That's heartbreaking, because that's who I had my eyes on. So now I'm stuck, because I'm trying to figure out whether to go with the proven veteran that I've seen put up big numbers. If I go with something new right now, I'm going to go with the proven vet. I'm going to go with Aaron Jones from the Green Bay Packers. Regardless of whether number 12 is at quarterback or not, I'm just a believer in how Aaron Jones plays within this Packers system. He can catch the ball out the backfield. He can run on the edges. He has big playability, and he has a nose for the end zone. Aaron Jones, I got him.
All right. That's a good value pick at that point in time. So here I've got the two guys I'm deciding between. I'm deciding between Joe Mixon, who I've always believed in his talent and his ability. He's very gifted. Now, offensive line's been a train wreck there. Hopefully they're a little bit better in that spot in this upcoming season for him and for Joe Burrow. But it's between him and this other player. And Buck, you know, when it comes to running backs, if it's close, you know, what they say, tie goes to the runner in baseball. Tie goes to the younger when we're talking running backs. So a little more, I got a little more juice here, a little more upside. I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor. Coming up year two with Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor averaged five yards a carry last year. Had 1,169 yards rushing. You know, catching the football was not something he did very well coming out of college. Caught 36 balls last year. So, and I don't think he's going to be running a lot of option routes. I think he's somebody who's going to swing it to him and let him screen game, swing game, and use him that way. But you talk about home run hitters. I feel like when I look at this group that I have between McCaffrey, Chubb, Barkley, Zeke, and now with Jonathan Taylor, I got a lot of guys that are going to hit some home runs, man, like long runs when you look at the history of these players and what they can do.
Man, Jonathan Taylor has been a nice find for the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know if you can say it's a find, but he is a nice fit for how they want to do. And you think about, you have Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, you have Marlon Mack. Man, is there any surprise at what the Indianapolis Colts are going to do when they have the ball in their hands and how they can help alleviate some of the pressure on Carson Wentz? I like it. I like Jonathan Taylor. I'm going to go with another young guy. I'm going to do like you. Like, you talk about Kyle Pitts at tight end. You don't necessarily need to see it to believe it. I'm going to go with Najee Harris in Pittsburgh. I know there are a lot of questions about the makeup of this offense with Matt Canada taking over. You worry about the offensive line, four new starters on the front line. But the thing about Najee Harris to me is he gives them what they've been lacking since they parted ways with Le'Veon Bell. He is a unique player at the position. He really has some of that RB1, wide receiver 2 ability. I think he's going to be a big find. If I'm going to kind of put a bet on somebody as a running back that could be an offensive rookie of the year, I'm gonna go with Najee Harris with the Steelers.
Okay, I like that. I like the fact we're sprinkling in some rookies here into these drafts. So that gives you at running back, man. It's a good group you've got here, Buck. You've got Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara. You've got Aaron Jones, and you've got Najee Harris. It's a good group. I have Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Jonathan Taylor. I feel like I've got the faster of the two teams thus far, Buck. You might have the better team, but let's get to the end of the line here, and we'll see what it all looks like. You get to go first here. We're doing wideouts.
Ooh, wideouts are so tough, right? See, because wide receivers are so dependent upon who is throwing the ball to them, and then it's about what do you value and what do you covet at the position. With the number one pick, I'm going to go with the guy who has proven in the last year or so that he might be the most polished wide receiver in the league. So I'm going with Davante Adams from the Green Bay Packers. When we think about the position, you and I have talked about it, the guys who really have success in the leagues are the craftsmen, the skill route runners who understand how to create separation. They do a great job of setting up defenders. Davante Adams has all the tricks of the trade, all the tools on the tool belt. Whatever you want to use to distinguish his skill set, he has it all. He checks off all the boxes.
Okay. And we can get into numbers and look at numbers and stats and all that, and you'd be making the right pick there. I'm going to go with the guy, when I think of the defensive coordinator that's not going to sleep that whole week because he knows who they're getting ready to go up against and who they're getting ready to face. And there's only one of him in the entire league, and that's Tyreek Hill. So I'm going to go Tyreek Hill with my first pick. Again, speed.
I saw Tampa Bay slow their speed down in the Super Bowl, though. So I'm going to put that cover two.
Well, yeah, that's because Tyreek Hill ain't playing right tackle. You know, he might have been a better option had they used him at right tackle in that game. But I digress.
Okay, so I get that. So Tyreek Hill, you're going for speed and explosiveness. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a player who I would think from a skill standpoint, man, he and Davante Adams are very, very similar. How about Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, that's a good pick.
How about Stephon Diggs? So now you talk about having two guys that can just run routes and get after it and having a chance to be around Stephon Diggs for a day or two this summer. To hear him talk about running routes and to watch him demo route running to young guys, oh, it's no wonder why this guy gets open against anybody and everybody. He just understands how to play the position. And it's one of the reasons why he exploded when he got his opportunity to be the number one with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have the route runners pegged here. You talk about releases. That's teaching tape with the two guys that you have right now with how they get off the line of scrimmage. They're phenomenal. Buck, let me see, what time is it? Yeah, we're still in the morning when we're recording this. But I'm gonna pretend like it's dark outside, because you know what, Buck? The freaks come out at night.
Oh my gosh.
give me DK Metcalf.
Oh man, you're all about explosive speed, physicality, all of that. You just are trying to just put a track team on the outside.
That's how I want to build the team.
Just a 4x1 team. DK Metcalf, who, look, he's worthy of being in the conversation. And DJ, to think about second round pick, there were some issues, obviously medical or whatever, but this guy, when we talk about developing, his development as a receiver has been outstanding. We talked about him maybe being a bit of a one-trick pony, but man, if that one trick always pays off and gets you to the winner's circle, why change? DK Metcalf, straight line playmaker, has really grown into being a number one receiver. I can see that. Second pick for you.
All right, who you got here? There's a lot of good options. There's a million wide receivers. This exercise, by the way, is another example of why maybe you don't need to take wideouts very high in the draft, because just the volume of them coming out of college, and then when you look around the league, there's so many good wideouts. You can find them anywhere.
You can find him anywhere. And I'm going to say this is the most slept on wide receiver in the National Football League, because I think we need to talk about him as a top five talent, and we don't. Calvin Ridley from the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
Look, I know from an athletic standpoint, he's not necessarily in the blue marks, you know, when we watched him at the combine. But from a skill standpoint, man, he is an artist like Picasso. What he does on the outside is, man, he creates separation. He does a great job of just keeping defenders off balance. The route running is phenomenal. And then when I put him in that stable with Davante Adams, I now have Stephon Diggs and Calvin Ridley. Good luck covering those guys in man coverage, because one-on-one, someone is going to get the matchup and someone on my team is going to win.
All right, I'm just going to do exactly what Spielman did. Just as soon as it was done, just turn in the card. Like as soon as that pick was made, just Justin Jefferson, just turn it in. I don't need the 5 minutes to discuss this one. I'll go ahead. I'll go ahead and take him. Give me Justin Jefferson. To me, you talk about route runners. You've nailed the route runners with your first three picks. I feel like now I'm kind of getting into the route runner portion of my draft where I can drop Jefferson in. I can play him inside. I can play him outside. Got phenomenal hands. What do you have, 1,400 yards as a rookie last year, Buck? I mean, come on. I feel great about that value for me here in the third round getting him.
I mean, like, here's the thing. I had him on the list because he fits what we like. Like, he's our style wide receiver. I love route runners and playmakers. This one's going to hurt you, though, because this one is one that you get a chance to see each and every week when you're calling Chargers games.
Oh, wow.
Give me Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's route running ability as a big man. If you are a big guy and you want to understand how to get off press, man, you need to get the Keenan Allen mixtape, because his ability to throw these unorthodox but polished moves at defenders at the line of scrimmage, I don't know if I've ever seen a big receiver be able to do the things that he is able to do. Unique with his balance and body control in terms of creating separation. This is my guy, Keenan Allen. Let me have him.
Yeah, I appreciate what Keenan does as much as anybody. He's phenomenal. He would be the third one to me. When you look at Adams, Diggs, and Keenan, if you want to study releases, watch those three guys. If you're a young wideout, and Keenan might be the best of the three in terms of watching him get off the line of scrimmage. All right, I've got Tyreek outside. I've got DK outside. I've got Justin Jefferson in the slot for me. But if I want to go four wide and I want to throw somebody else in that other slot, Buck, give me big AJ Brown. Let me drop him in there.
Ooh.
Let him do some work in there. Again, he's got the versatility outside, inside, can do whatever you want, but has turned himself into really one of the best wide receivers in the league as a very young player. And he reunites with DK Metcalf, his college teammate here.
Man, I like that. DJ, what this confirms is, like, let's just think about some of the names that have not been taken yet. Michael Thomas is still on the board.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is still on the board. DeAndre Hopkins is still on the board. Scary Terry McLaurin is still on the board. And they're going to remain on the board because the guy that I'm taking is Allen Robinson II from the Chicago Bears. Quietly, the last 2 years, DJ, 200 receptions. And when you think about the issues that they had at quarterback, man, this is a guy that just gets open and it doesn't matter who's throwing to him. He's still going to put up big numbers. Allen Robinson, when you go back and think about what he was at Penn State, the special ability that he showed in terms of winning these 50-50 balls, he continues to do that in the Windy City. I am all about Allen Robinson. Let him complete out. He'll complete my wide receiver core.
Man, that's a great pick. And there are so many other good options.
You can make somebody mad. So I love it because you are going to make somebody mad and they're going to find you on Twitter and they're going to light you up. They're going to light you up because you didn't take them.
Wow. Yeah. Well, now you're trying to force me into taking Michael Thomas is what you're doing.
I'm not trying to force you.
I don't need that smoke. I don't need that, all that smoke from Michael Thomas.
You still got Hopkins.
I know, but like you mentioned Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin, those would be way up there for me. I've been very adamant about my belief in CeeDee Lamb and what he's going to do for the Cowboys, betting on the come a little bit of what's ahead of him. Buck, I love Chase Claypool with the Steelers, what he can do. Man. All right. I'm going Scary Terry. I'm taking Terry McLaurin.
Oh, man. Terry McLaurin with the Washington football team. He gets to team up with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're going to throw the ball all over the yard. Some of them will go to the other team.
He'll have a big year.
Big team. And so, DJ, when we talk about the pass catchers in this league and we talk about the guys that are able to get it done, I am looking at this list, right? And I am counting off the first rounders. Calvin Ridley is one. DJ, there's not another number one.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. So out of 10, only two first rounders, which is why we always talk about, man, in the draft, you can find these guys. There's so many playmakers and pass catchers that can do it. And in looking at it stylistically, the route runners, the explosive playmakers, and we haven't even talked about the jump ball specialists that kind of remain on the board. DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Thomas, Mike Evans, all of those guys. Really, yep. It comes down to when you're building out your receiver core, it's like going to the ice cream shop. What flavor, what style, what do you want to do? But tremendous amount of pass catchers in this league. But now this is the fun part. This is the fun part. We get to the quarterbacks. We get to talk about the leaders, the QB1s. You get the first pick. Can't wait to see where you go with this.
I know, because I could you've got the MVP who I think we both
I can't remember
going to show up.
I can't remember who was the MVP.
I think we both think he'll show up. But anyways, I'm got to go Mahomes. I go on Patrick Mahomes with the first pick. On schedule, off schedule, anything you want to do. I mean, if he can stay physically healthy and this offensive line's a little bit better, he's going to be the MVP of the league this year. The numbers are going to come because they're always going to come when he's out there in this system with his skill set, and he's just getting better. So I'll take Mahomes.
Oh, shucks. That's not where I thought you were going.
I know where you thought I was going, but no.
I thought you were going to take the ultimate winner. I thought you were going to take Tom Brady and
did you?
Cap it off. Yeah, I thought that you would go there.
This is not a lifetime achievement award, Buck.
Right, and because of that, that's why I'm kind of lukewarm on taking the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, because prior to last year, Aaron Rodgers was on the decline. When you look at his numbers, he wasn't putting up. So I'm going to leave Aaron Rodgers there. I'm gonna leave him sitting there for you to take him. Maybe
you're gonna take Josh Allen. I can see it in your eyes. You're gonna take Josh Allen.
I'm looking at Josh Allen, but then I don't know how I can justify taking Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. Like I'm just kind of stuck here.
Okay.
And then I got Russell Wilson, and all the Russell Wilson people will be mad at me.
You can't draft in fear, man.
I'm not. So here's what I'm gonna do because
Michael
we're talking
Thomas
about
is gonna torch both of us. So, no,
so here's what we're talking about. We're talking about 2021, and this is what I believe. I believe the Seahawks made a great decision by getting the offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, putting in a system that, much like Matt LaFleur's system, helped Aaron Rodgers, giving him a little more structure. I'm going with Russell Wilson this year because I think Russell Wilson will play at an MVP level in a more structured system that will make him play from the pocket. Give me Russell Wilson at number two.
I'll take Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I can't pass on him here. He's going to show up. I don't think he has any other options. Who knows? By the time you're listening to this, maybe he announces he's retired. But I don't see that happen. I think he's going to play. And we know the talent is the best. I would say he's the best thrower. You know, you talk about Mahomes having the most, velocity, creativity. Nobody puts the ball where it's intended better than Aaron Rodgers. He's been that guy for a while, and he's in a system that can feature that now. So, I'll take Aaron Rodgers. I feel great about those two picks. Can't believe you left me Rodgers.
I left your older Rodgers, who may or may not be the greatest teammate, may not be a great fit for your organization. But that's fine. I'll let you deal with those issues as he tries to get you fired each and every week because, people and organizations lead the championships and that stuff. So give me number four, and I'm going to give you a guy that I'm banking on because he was so hot before his injury. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott right here. And the reason why I'm going, the weapons around Dak Prescott could enable the Dallas Cowboys offense to just absolutely obliterate scoreboards around the league. When I think about the three receivers that they have in Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, I think about Ezekiel Elliott teaming up with Tony Pollard, the offensive line coming back, and Dak Prescott being healthy. Look, man, this dude was averaging 422 passing yards per game when he got hurt. And he doesn't have to play defense, but if he continues to light it up like that, I'm all about it. Give me Dak Prescott.
Okay. Yeah, I think Dak's going to have a big year.
That's going to make some people upset.
Yeah, I can see even on the video, your face is trying to slide out of the screen there. So you don't
I'm catch all good. That. Yeah, I am all good. Dak Prescott right there.
Nice and centered. when they splice that video, I want to make sure you're right in the middle of the video. All right. Man.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Here we go. Now the draft starts.
Yeah. No, I got to take Josh Allen. I got to take Josh Allen. I can't pass on him here. Just the physical gifts. I mean, I look at these three guys that I've got between Mahomes, Rodgers, and Josh Allen, just physically gifted dudes, man, that can do so many things. Josh Allen, to see the leap that he took last year, I think it's sustainable. I think he's made the correct mechanical tweaks that he needed to. He's always had the intelligence. He's always had the athletic ability, the arm strength, all that's always been there. Now he's got players around him that can uncover, and mechanically he's in a good place. So he's a rare dude. I got Josh Allen.
Ooh, I like that. Oh, man. God, dog, it's DJ.
I mean, you just talked about Lamar Jackson being your first pick a little while ago. Here we are in round number three.
And this is when he comes off the board. This is the right time for Lamar Jackson to come off the board. I'm a huge believer in what they do offensively. They run the ball. And look, when they allow him to run it, he's phenomenal. I think the pressure is not on Lamar Jackson, it's on Greg Roman to make sure that he elevates Lamar Jackson's game. This is the year where that elevation has to come because I like what I'm hearing. I'm hearing they're putting him under center a little bit more. We see Lamar Jackson fully tap into all of his skills.
Okay. Yeah, like you said, the draft kind of starts here. I've got to go with Justin Herbert at this point in time, coming off the rookie year that he just had.
Way to step out on a limb right there. Guy you see every week. Way to.
And you know what's interesting? Our buddy Warren Sharp, if you follow Warren on social media, dude, look at how thick this guide is that he does, all this work that he puts in here with this preview mag. It has analytic on steroids when you look at all this stuff. So anyways, I was reading the Chargers stuff in here. It talked about, which is surprising to me, how much more successful Herbert was under center than he was in the gun. And it wasn't even just off play action. You say, okay, he's under center. You get the play action. That's going to manipulate defenses and create lanes. It was even on non-play action, just under center, he was better. And I think you think about Oregon, everything's in the shotgun. How is he going to adjust? He was actually better under center than he was in the gun. And I think even if you're not running play action, I just think the illusion of run, anytime you get under center, it just, you don't know. I think it's more difficult for defenses because they don't see that as much. You know, growing up in high school, you see it, Buck, almost everybody's in the shotgun. College, everybody's in the shotgun. Under center, it's a little different. It's a little different peak there for defenses. So I think when you look at this system, that's coming in with Joe Lombardi. We'll see how they kind of meld things together with what they did previously and what he wants to do from his time with the Saints. It's going to be interesting to see how this offense comes together. But Justin Herbert exceeded all of our expectations last year, and I don't see why he doesn't take another step forward this year.
No, I'd expect him to take another step forward. It's interesting you bring up the under center comment. DJ, I believe that's going to be the trend that we observe this year. More teams are going to do more traditional quarterback play. Because when you look at the success of Baker Mayfield and some of these other quarterbacks, when they utilize the under center portion of the playbook with the play action, I just think it makes it better for all quarterbacks, particularly young quarterbacks. So here we go. I have my fourth round pick, and I can't just continue to let him sit. So I'm going to take Tom Brady. I'm going to take Tom Brady here, even though it goes against my premise. I typically don't like to deal with older players. Tom Brady has just somehow defied Father Time, and it's not necessarily what he brings as a player, but it's the aura and mystique of Tom Brady that I want on my team. He wins. He's the guy that plays pickup in his team, no matter who you surround them with, finds a way to stay on the court. Tom Brady's the ultimate pickup player. That's why I'm going to take him. He is the winner, and I want to win.
Yeah, I can't dispute anything about that. And every time you think this might be coming towards the end, he has another comeback and virtuoso performance in a key spot and ends up winning a title. So I can't argue with that. You know, look, the elephant in the room, obviously, Deshaun Watson, if everything, you know, he didn't have any off the field issues or situations, he'd be gone by now. But I just don't know how to navigate those waters in this exercise that we're doing without having any conclusion to what's going on there off the field. So I'm going to let him slide here, and I'm actually going to take Kyler Murray here with my last pick. And Kyler Murray got dinged up at the end of the year last year. Maybe he doesn't get dinged up. Maybe they're in the postseason. So can do everything. I think that's kind of the theme when you look at this. Look at the athleticism of these quarterbacks I've got here with Mahomes, Rodgers, Josh Allen, Herbert, Kyler Murray. All these guys can move. All these guys can create and make things happen. And Kyler's as dangerous as any of them.
Look, he is as dangerous as they come. And look, your kind of addendum amendment or whatever you made talking about Deshaun Watson is true. I think the unknown makes it really, really tough to kind of put him in this exercise because you just don't know if he's going to be available. But what that does is it creates a path for me to talk about maybe, man, one of the most underrated quarterbacks. And I'm sitting here stuck, DJ, because I'm sitting here looking at two guys.
Okay. Let me see if I can help you. Why don't you throw them out? What we got?
I got Ryan Tannehill and I got Matthew Stafford. I'm thinking about Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay's offense and what it would look like if Cam Akers was there and how it would be vastly different than anything that he's played in. But unfortunately, Cam Akers isn't there. And because of that, that's going to lead me to Ryan Tannehill. Because when you look at Ryan Tannehill and the way that he has played, with big Derrick Henry behind him and the amount of play action that the Titans use with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown being able to win one-on-ones on the outside because the defense is so focused on Henry, Ryan Tannehill should continue to put up big numbers. I'm going all in on Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and I think he belongs in this. He belongs in this. If we're talking about top 10 quarterbacks, I think he's kind of right on that edge in that discussion. When you start talking about 8 through 12, you know, I think that's where Tannehill slots in. He's a good player. It's not somebody who's a caretaker only. Like, he can win from the pocket. He can win as a throw-first quarterback. They don't ask him to do that often because they have such a great running back and run game. But I think he can do those things. So, that wraps it up there. We've got to figure out a way where we can maybe we can send these out of like the different teams and let people figure it out. Maybe go position by position. But I guarantee you some smoke is coming. Some smoke is coming our way.
Yeah, absolutely. Man.
Inevitable.
Oh, man. So many people are going to be so upset about who was left off. But
it's fun,
look,
though.
It's really a great exercise, DJ, because what it does, it tells you about like the star power that is in the league. And just the depth and quality at each of these positions. And so if you think about these guys that we listed off and the guys that are on the outside looking in, man, the NFL is in a good place because, man, you talk about a star-studded league with a bunch of guys who can play at an elite level.
All right. Help me out on this because I'm looking through and I'm trying to identify the teams that had multiple guys, like three guys. So the Chiefs have Kelce, Hill, and Mahomes. That's pretty good. Yeah, the Falcons had two because you took Ridley. I took Pitts. Let me see other teams here. The Vikings. No. Oh, you have Tennessee.
Vikings have Cook. The Vikings Tennessee. Have Cook and Jefferson.
Tennessee has three. They have Brown.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
Henry,
the triplets.
And Tannehill.
Yeah, they have the triplets.
The Chargers had two. The Bills had two. The Packers had three. Packers have Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones.
Big three.
So it's interesting when you kind of see those teams that have multiple guys there.
How about that?
Nobody else were missing, right, in terms of having multiples?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we mentioned you've got the Saints. The Saints have two.
Cowboys two, and that didn't even include Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a good list. Cowboys had Dak and Zeke. It's fun exercise, man. Fun exercise, without a doubt. Anything else you want to throw in here, Buck? As we get out of here.
Look, it's always fun. Training camp is underway, man. Football is back.
I know. I'm hopping in the car tomorrow. So prayers appreciated. And don't forget, don't even think for a second that I haven't kept the number one rule of the road in mind. When you're going on a long drive, you need to use the restroom, find yourself a hotel lobby. It's the cleanest bathroom on planet Earth. That's my free gift to all of you guys out there. If you're going on vacation, trying to sneak one in before school starts, got to go to the bathroom, find yourself a Hampton Inn, find yourself a little Marriott Courtyard, that little bathroom downstairs.
Yeah.
Clean, spotless. All right. That's all. I'm going to leave you with that little happy note. All right. That's going to do it for us today. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.